Hello, this is Full Manga Librarians. We're your friendly intermediate teen librarians, Kelly and.
Carrie from the Akron Summit County Public Library.
And we're here today to talk all about manga. Every other week, we'll suggest manga you may want to read.
And all of the manga we mention will be available to order through the library, either physically or digitally. We'll go over what the manga is about, connect it to other media outside of the manga realm, and offer other important details such as suggested age level or content awareness. We will do our best to avoid spoilers, but some may squeak by. We apologize in advance for mispronunciations.
Okay, Miss Carrie. So, characters we're talking about in this episode are part demon. And my question for you today is, if you were turned into a half supernatural being, do you think that would be more difficult than being completely transformed, and why?
Oh, I think it would definitely be more difficult being half of anything instead of all of and I'm just thinking Tokyo Ghoul.
Oh, yes.
But I just immediately think of Tokyo Ghoul and that just that like who am I? What am I? Like what are my motivations in controlling that? Like where do you identify with as far as friends, family, where do you fit in? I mean, because even people who say, oh, I don't care about fitting in, like we all need companions. So where do you find those companions? Where do you gravitate towards, or who do you gravitate towards, and who comes to you? So that all has to do with like who you are, what you are, your behaviors, and all of that. It's going to be changed if you're part demon. So it's yeah, or part vampire, or part whatever you part ghoul, you know. So yeah, it would just be better to be all of the supernatural being, you know, and have to deal with whatever comes with that, than dealing with the supernatural part and the human part both.
Yeah,
And
it's so
what
interesting.
about you, Miss Kelly?
No, I agree. Like it actually makes me think of D&D, because Dungeons and Dragons, just because there are certain races that you can choose. So you can be an elf, you can be a dwarf, you can be a human, you can be all of those things. But sometimes you can even be like, half elf, or a half orc even, or you can be like half human, half, whatever. And it always says in those descriptions, like, you're gonna have a hard time, basically, because unfortunately, they're going to be just like, unfortunately, in reality, where I feel like there are definitely moments where if you don't look a certain way, people aren't always kind in how they accept you into their. There are groups in society. There are groups in D&D too, and sometimes it's really hard for those who don't have like a clear cut group to be a part of. And it can be tough. I mean, I hope it changes, because I feel like everyone should have a moment to be a part of, community, and be a part of, something that they feel safe and comfortable with. But it'd be hard to be half angel, half demon, and not be accepted by humans or demons, humans or angels.
Yeah, definitely all one or all the other. So I think we're definitely in agreement on
For sure.
that. Definitely.
So, speaking of demons and angels, I actually wanted to start us off with my manga today, and it's called Bloody Cross. And so Bloody Cross has it all: demons, angels, humans, vampires, you name it. It kind of sounds like Cassie Clare.
Yes, yes, yes.
In this world, for those unlucky enough to be born as a half-breed, they are cursed with occasional debilitating pain before eventually and inevitably dying. Usually, this happens, at least as far as I could tell, it happens in their mid to late teens. Okay, so let me start off by saying that this is one of those series that you just can't take seriously. It's over the top and has a serialized feel to it. Like it was made in the early 2000s, I believe, and it definitely feels kind of similar to that. There's obviously an overarching plot, but it definitely has a feel to it where not necessarily there's a monster of the week, but there's kind of a monster of the week. But you should expect to have a good time and expect to suspend a decent portion of your disbelief. Our story begins with Tsukamiya, and she's a vampire angel half-breed whose motivation is to end her curse before it's too late. This means she must find a full-blooded demon and drink their blood before time runs out. With this goal in mind, our story starts with Tsukamiya hunting an archdemon. In doing so, she happens upon another half-breed, Hinata, a boy with the same goal. Since Tsukamiya is a half-vampire, she can tell when someone is lying. And boy, is Hinata a liar. Obviously, she doesn't trust him, but out of necessity, she joins forces. Hilarity and mistrust ensues. Hinata's first act of deceit begins when Tsukamiya and Hinata work together to take down the archdemon. When defeated, Hinata takes the demon's blood all for himself. Infuriated, Tsukamiya in turn drinks Hinata's blood and dooms them both with her curse. Yep, they're sharing Tsukamiya's curse now. With how these two characters just are, this betrayal becomes a running theme, especially during the start of their relationship. The relationship between both of these two is just strained at first, but as they're roped into one bargain after another, we see that they grow closer together. As mentioned, the series is crazy and is a romp through angelic, demonic, and mythically action-packed and romantically charged hijinks. In fact, if you're not a fan of violence or uncomfortable with steamy sensual scenes, this may not be for you. It's a book for older teens and adults, as there are definitely some panels that feature more sexually charged scenes, nothing with nudity. Well, there are some parts where it's like very close, if you know what I mean. But be cautioned that if you are uncomfortable with this, please avoid. On that topic, be warned that there are a few characters that may act or say some mature things that for some may make them feel uncomfortable. There is a lot of fan service, which for those who are unaware, include the scenes that are inserted regardless, like disregarding the plot even, but they're inserted and are meant to excite the consumer. Usually this tends to be scenes with a sexual nature in mind. As mentioned, this has been a problem for many manga series in that since it is a scene purely based on exciting the viewer, it doesn't touch on the reality of the situation and doesn't even point out how problematic it can be. The reality is being that unwanted touches are not okay. And unfortunately, the series has quite a few scenes where Hinata touches Tsukamiya and there is never anything said about it. So I know we mentioned this before, but definitely consent is
a priority. I mean, it's just required. Yeah, it's a necessity.
Exactly. Like my brain is just keeps going back to consent should be within all points of, you know, conversation or before anything is even done, there should be a discussion. Like this is not okay. And unfortunately, like we've said multiple times before, there are definitely manga out there and there are definitely books out there that think it's cute to touch someone even though they don't want to be touched like that. So yay for consent, please.
Yeah, a lot of times that kind of behavior, especially when you're dealing with younger characters, like teenagers, mm-hmm. It's just like, well, you know, they're just kids or boys will be boys. It always goes back to like the boys will be boys. Although there are female characters who behave this way too and make others uncomfortable. So it's not just boys, but it's just making that excuse is not acceptable because if they're doing that because of their age and they don't really know any better, or they're just not thinking, the other characters should say, hey, this is not okay.
Right.
In the future, don't do this. You know, there needs to be someone else to point that out saying, hey, this isn't funny. It's not cute. Right. You need to control yourself. This is not acceptable. Because those, like in real life, those are the kids that are allowed to get away with this because they're just kids. And then they grow up and they either get beat up because of it or they end up in jail or, you know, they're going around sexually harassing people and thinking it's okay. And they're, you know, even if we're thinking about it for their own sake, it's not doing them any favors to let that behavior go. And of course, if they're harassing other people, it becomes their problem too. So no, it's not funny. It's not cute. And it, you know, if it's going to be in a story, because, you know, people do act like that and it's realistic to include someone like that, it would be helpful if it was addressed so that readers could see, oh yeah, it's funny, it's cute, whatever, but yeah, maybe not, because there's a character saying it's not. So instead of, you know, doing that in real life in imitation because you think it's cute or fun, and then in real life, you know, the reader gets in trouble. I'm hoping that readers are smarter than that, but
I hope that there are discussions. I hope that readers are able to look at this and talk to their friends or maybe even talk to their family about, hey, you know, this isn't okay, right? And then have like a discussion from there, which it is not okay to touch someone without their consent. Okay, so if you are going to read the series, like what are the highlights? What are the good things about it? Well, lots of things. I mean, it is fun. It is one of those stories where you're in it for the action, you're in it for the plot can be kind of interesting. And then also as you get later in the series, you are introduced to even more colorful characters like Suzuki, and he is a full-blooded and very much entitled angel. And he has his loyal assistant, Hanamura, and they are just hilarious and amazing. And they actually, like, Suzuki makes a pact with the two I mentioned earlier, so Hinata and Tsukimiya, and he basically makes a pact with them to work for him so that he can collect the holy relics and become a god. So of course more hilarity ensues. You get the picture. This happens a lot. And really though, at the heart of the story, there's this complex view of relationships between friends and the slow process it takes in order to trust one another. Like as you can, I know I've been talking a lot about Hinata and Tsukimiya, but and they don't trust anyone. I mean, they're both half-breeds. They've never had a reason to, but as they go along, they learn to trust each other, and they also, to a certain extent, like a group starts forming where they're like, oh, kind of like found family, but of course, but
Your favorite.
I know it's my favorite trope, but yeah, it's there's meaning and there's definitely relationships to explore here. Okay, so the art is vibrant and fun. It's more in the simple side, so not as much detail for both the characters or background, but it does capture a sense of movement, rightly so, as characters must quickly react to fights and danger. The characters tend to have long limbs, which give them a graceful look, and their expressions carry weight. If you're looking for a series that's similar to Bloody Cross, look for books with vampires, such as The Beautiful, or Hush Hush. So we have both of those in the library for you to check out. Both have a steamy side to their vampires and angels. If you're looking for another rivalry between angels and fallen angels, feel free to check out Dian Angel, which I have mentioned before. It is awesome. And yeah, there's definitely a need to hate kind of tension between dark and grad in that one too. So between the action scenes and the pretty art, it will definitely be something to enjoy. Just again, lots of fan service, so be warned.
The fan service in a manga and anime can be quite a shock if you're not prepared for it, especially when it absolutely has nothing to do with the story. Sometimes it's just gross. You know, I feel like a little bit is one thing. Like we know you are trying to appeal to a certain male audience of a certain age and keep them coming back because they want to see these certain body parts. But when it starts to interfere with the story, like you're like I'm not going to mention which ones, but there are some manga series that I thought, wow, this sounds like a really cool story, and it got to a certain point where like every page it was just like it's just boobs, and then there's boobs and more. I'm like, I don't even know what the story is anymore. Like I have no idea what's going on. And I just would stop reading. I thought, the premise sounded good. It was going somewhere, and then boom. And like, no, like why would I just want to keep turning pages and looking at this? You know, like just not working for me. It's a shame that the story got lost in that. You know, if you want to put a little bit in, I guess, like why. I don't know, like, is it just an insecurity with the story, like that they don't think the story is enough to keep readers interested? I don't know.
Maybe. I
Maybe.
mean, maybe it's just, I don't know. They feel like, oh, well, that's what readers want in this specific realm of. I mean, some readers or watchers or whatever have come to expect this from anime,
Yes.
and
From
so it's,
certain, yeah, from
oh
certain
yeah.
genres or certain,
Yeah, not
yeah.
all anime. I mean,
Oh, yeah.
there's definitely anime out there where it's like, oh no, this is just cute and fun and fluffy, and there is no, shots of like boobs or butts or whatever, inappropriate touching,
Yeah. I know.
but
I was,
like,
I,
yeah.
yeah, there's an anime I'm watching now that's actually current. It's, what part of the winter season. So it's, the
Oh yeah.
one episode a week. And it has a little bit of fan service in the episodes, but I'm like, okay, whatever. It's not a huge deal. There's teenage characters, and the teenage boys, of course, are like, oh, So, okay, whatever. But then the ending sequence, the entire ending sequence, every episode is just fan service.
Oh my gosh.
Literally, the female characters in like very scanty, like lingerie with overdeveloped certain body parts laying in a bed in a certain position. And I'm like, this has nothing to do with the story. And now that really makes me mad because it's a fun story. I mean, I keep watching it. It's a fun story. You get a little bit of fan service. And then at the end of the episode, boom, here we have this like minute and a half sequence where that is all it is. And I'm watching it on the treadmill and I need to get to run the episode all the way down. And I like the music at the end. So I literally just do not even watch it. It's running on my computer as I'm walking on the treadmill. And I'm like, okay, I know when the song is done, I can look and we're going to click over to the next episode or whatever. But it just makes me mad that they could have put something fun there. There's a lot of fun stuff that happens. And there's a lot of, again, it's kind of a found family thing. They make friends, they do some fun things together, but it's intense. They have to have these battles, whatever. I'm not going to say what it is, but which anime it is, but it's enough that it's making me come back every week. And they have to ruin that by just throwing this in at the end. And I'm like that actually the story is enough. The story and the characters are enough. You don't need to do that. It's gross. And I don't think I'm just saying that because I'm, a 53-year-old woman. I think it's just gross. It's unnecessary. And I wish that the producers, director, whoever came up with that have felt, I don't want to like say what they how they felt about it, like why they had to do that at the end, but to me it signals that they didn't feel confident enough in the story material or the characters to put something story related in that.
I think it's interesting because I feel like culturally too, there is definitely like as far as sexual assault or and again, like I don't live in Japan, so I don't know if this is completely accurate, but I feel like when we're talking about unwanted touch or we're talking about like those fan service type shots, they're not. When you look at a rating on the back of like an anime DVD or the back of like a manga, it usually has a rating like, oh, teen or older teen or, mature or whatever. And I feel like sometimes for us, our concept of what is quote unquote teen is very different from what they view as quote unquote teen. And so sometimes I will say, like, sometimes it's really hard to recommend anime to people who maybe aren't as comfortable with that because it's like, oh, well, this could be rated, I don't know, teen, just like normal teen. And, but really, you have like so many like fan service bombs. You almost have to like warn people at the get-go, like, oh, you're just getting into anime. Okay, cool. Like, just making sure you know, but you might see like this. This is unfortunately part of what it means to watch anime sometimes, where it's like almost guaranteed eventually you're going to come up against an anime where you're going to see those like panty shots or like those shots where it's kind of uncomfortable for certain people, and it's hard to just be like, oh, this isn't just a cartoon. This is like, this could be anything. Because anime encompasses like everything from Hamtaro to like I don't know, just like blood and gore, and then also, you know, those sexy shots, and it's difficult.
Right, we can't really go by those ratings. Like if you're like we have, you know, at my library branch, I have an anime club, and I have to be really careful. Some of these kids are like, "Oh, we need to watch this or that," and I'm like, "I don't know. I've heard some things about that one." And they're, "Oh, it's rated teen," and then usually there's some other kids that are like, "Oh no, we can't watch that here because we have a 12-year-old," you know, and maybe the other kids are 15 or 16, and they'll say, you know, this there's a 12-year-old in here, and we want him to feel like, you know, okay here, and we don't want him to see that. They get kind of protective of the younger members. But then they'll tell me, then they'll say, "Hey, you know, I'll tell you what's in it," and I'll say, "Okay, you know," and even it'll say like 13 and up, and they'll tell me what goes on, and I'm like, "Hey, how about you need to be like 30 and up for that? What are you even talking about?" And they all laugh, but I'm like, you know, I appreciate that they tell me, but if I feel at all like, you know, I don't know this one enough, I haven't seen it, I'm not going to show it. Because it seems like I don't want to say we're more protective of our youth here as far as that, because obviously we produce enough of our own media that is, you know, that kids end up seeing that is probably, it's definitely not age appropriate. But yeah, you kind of have to be careful with those ratings. You don't know what you're getting as far as a lot of things that you wouldn't
And
expect in certain stories. I'm like, what is that? What does it even have to do with the story? I
I
don't
know.
like, you just wouldn't expect it.
And if like and it's so hard too, because it's like this is rampant in so many, like not rampant, but it's like in a lot of anime. And like you had mentioned before, the story might be fantastic. The story might be like one of those things where it's like you won't even believe the twists and turns of this tale, or like the characters are amazing and wonderful, and like they feel like family. And it's like, yeah, but also there are these random shots for no reason. Like it has no tie-in with the plot or whatever. But like tie in with the plot, and it's just there. It's just randomly there.
And it can ruin the whole thing because you're like, why? Why? It just interrupts the flow of it for one thing. And you know it's just there to appeal to a certain demographic, and it's unnecessary. Like you don't need to have that. If they're making an anime or a manga that's all there is, and there are some out there, that's all it is, and you know that's all there is. Okay, well that's fine because you know what you're in for, and you just if you want to look at that and watch that, then great. If you don't, then you know to avoid that. But to have it just like you said, they're just fan service bombs. They're just boom, they're there. Like
Yeah,
really?
it just
Like
happens out of nowhere, and you're like, wow,
yeah.
okay.
Like honestly, can you just get on with the story and put a shirt on that child, or put a skirt on her, or can we not have the camera, you know, like the angle, like going right up her skirt while she's having a conversation with somebody? Can we look at her face? She has a face. She's talking. She has a personality. It's not about her panties. It's frustrating. I mean, I know it's a thing, and there are plenty of people who enjoy that, but yeah, we're here for the story and the characters, I think, Miss Kelly.
Yes, please. Yes, please.
Yes.
Okay, so what do you have, Miss Carrie?
Well, I have something that does have some fan service in it, but that's not primarily what it is. And it is actually very, very adult as far as violence goes too. So it's definitely not for the younger readers. I have Chainsaw Man, which has become super popular because of the anime. But the manga is great too, and the manga is different than the anime too. So it's splattery action, and that pretty much sums up Chainsaw Man. Although there's actually a really good story to go along with the lovely bloody mess. It's a story that's sad yet hopeful, with plenty of inappropriate adolescent humor to lighten the mood when things get dark. And as we can see from the very bright, brutal cover art, they indeed get very, very dark. Denji is a teenage boy who inherited his dead father's debt to the Yakuza and works it off as a devil hunter with his best and only friend, the super adorable chainsaw devil Pochita. When the Yakuza turn on him when they are tempted by the devils themselves, Pochita saves Denji, taking over his body physically, entering his chest, and as he says, giving Denji his heart, so that Denji's body doesn't die. While Denji is devastated to lose his buddy, he accepts an invitation to become a public safety devil hunter, primarily because he's fallen headfirst in lust with the woman in charge, Makima. But he's really just a kid, so while this is a very physical attraction for him, beneath the obvious adolescent crush is a basic desire for comfort and attention. Makima is both cold and alluring, treating Denji like a pet while offering him a chance to belong, as he is introduced to other hunters as well as his partner, Power. If he disobeys orders or quits, he'll be put down as a devil. After all, he is part devil now, and he can't help thinking of his devoted Pochita now and again. I just want to note here that the practice of imposing parents' debts on surviving children comes up a lot in manga, which, while a fantastic way for authors to throw their protagonists under the bus, must be devastating in real life. I can't understand the logic here except how it benefits creditors, since it sets young people up for failure through no fault of their own. And we see this a lot in like live action dramas too, you know, like a lot of the Asian dramas. And I'm like, these poor kids, and they're like working because their dad had this debt and he ran off, and you know, the creditors are going to come take their house and what, and I'm like, they're in high school. Why are they like working and paying on this, their dad's gambling? How, what?
That's I'm illegal like, here. So
like, why is this a thing? It's horrible.
Have you looked in, do you know if that's actually a thing in Japan? Like,
I mean, I feel like it's not just like showing up every once in a while, like in manga, it's like in live action stuff.
Yeah.
Oh. So it feels like that's just like, if you are just unlucky enough to have a parent who ran off and left the family with debts or like medical bills or something.
Oh, I guess that's true. It does come up in manga. Whoa.
It comes up like my daughter and I watch a lot of like K dramas, and we watch some of the C, I don't know so much of the J, but a lot of K dramas, and these things happen, and it's just like the kids have no way out, and the creditors are horrible. They'll literally throw these kids out on the street. They'll just take everything from the family, and I don't understand the logic there. I just don't understand setting up these kids for failure. And if I'm wrong, if this is not a practice in real life, I would be so happy. I would
Me too. Me too.
My daughter and I are always absolutely just horrified. This just happens way too much, and for it not to be like is everybody just making this up, or all the creators just make it? It feels like it's just such a part of their culture. That's why it comes up all the time, because a lot of the times it's just that is the problem at the beginning of the story. Here's this very smart high school kid or college kid, but they can't really focus on, you know, what they want to do or how to develop their talents or how, you know, they want to contribute to society because they have this horrible debt and they're being pursued by these creditors, and it's actually the dad has a gambling debt, or they have all these medical bills or what, I don't even know. It's crazy. And so that's what they have to overcome. And I'm like, how do you overcome that when you're 17? Like, come on. You know. Okay, so anyway, I just felt like I really needed to, because I mean, this is Denji's, you know, origin story. Like, it's not his fault, and he's just a kid when this happens. So, like he's much younger. I think he's like 16 when the story starts, but he's been doing this for a while.
Yeah.
So, Chainsaw Man is a burst of intense action, shocking revelations, and a large dose of found family vibe. For all of their violent work together, this group of young devil hunters often reverts to their youthful egos, bonding over silly adolescent behavior that takes the edge off their deadly quests. Because of the violence, language, and aforesaid inappropriate behavior, this wild story is best for teens 17 and older who like their found families battered and bruised, emotionally fragile, even as they're physically tough. I didn't expect to get teary-eyed over this one, but the mangaka hammers home Pochita's fate with sketches of the darling beast at the end of each chapter. So every volume, every chapter, you get this little sketch of him. He is so, so cute. So you get these constant reminders of who is always in Denji's heart. It's really all I can do to stop myself from buying all the adorable Pochita merch that is out in the world. Like, you can get slippers, you can get underwear, you can get purses, you can get plushies. Whatever you want of Pochta, you can get him. And he's so cute. He's so, so cute. Oh my gosh. I can't even believe like he's a thing, that he exists. He's just so adorable. And when he's like, I'm in your heart. I am your heart. Like, oh my gosh. You know, and it's just, and Denji's such, he's just such this teenage boy, and he's so goofy, and he seems so dumb, and he's motivated by these very adolescent things like woman's body parts and food and that kind of thing. He's just very, he's very much a 16, 17 year old boy, motivated by these very basic desires. He's very immature, but then he'll think of Pochta, you know, and he suddenly, he seems very grown up, and he's realizing, you know, what he, that he has this purpose that, that's beyond that. And he, you know, they count on him to pretty much save everybody from these demons. And the artwork is incredible. If anybody, and if anybody has seen any of the trailers or seen the covers of the manga or any clips from the anime, it is just knockdown, drag out, gorgeous, especially of Denji, his face and everything when the chainsaws come out. It is just spectacular art. It is a gift to, I mean, it's like, to see the detail here is ridiculous. It's just incredible. Demon and Devil Hunters always make me think of the Mortal Instruments and the Infernal Devices series by Cassandra Clare, which I keep bringing up because they're my favorites. But Chainsaw Man has nothing of the glamour or romance of the Shadow Hunter. You know, it has a bunch of teenagers, you know, drinking too much to celebrate and like throwing up all over each other and stuff like that. They're very goofy. Or throwing vegetables at each other, getting upset because one of them didn't flush the toilet, and being very graphic about what was in the toilet. That kind of teenage humor. But I also think readers who enjoy Chainsaw Man would do themselves a favor by checking out American Gods by Neil Gaiman or the Dark Tower series by Stephen King. There's not so much of the humor, but in those, but a lot of the dark, intense urban fantasy like Chainsaw Man. The graphic novel series Lock and Key by Joe Hill is an absolute treasure in this genre as well. So any urban fantasy people, demons that got, and you want the art, you want that that visual, Lock and Key. I recommend that to people in library all the time.
I have yet to see Lock and Key, but so it's many incredible. People have said it's great.
And the show is good too, but I always tell people like read it as well as watch
read
the
it
show.
First.
They did. I think they did a really good job with the show. I'm not sure where it's streaming. I can't remember.
Netflix,
possibly, yeah. But and I don't know if I'll have to look and see if we have that on DVD, because we should have it on DVD if we don't have it.
Yeah. Unless Netflix sometimes takes a while to like release, you know, DVD, a physical.
Well,
copy.
And if they do, I don't know how that works.
Yeah, that's true.
But we do have the graphic novel series, and if you get it, get all of them at once, because you're not going to want to stop once you know. It's not like, oh, I'll read volume one and see if I like it and go. No, just get all of them at once, because you're going to read all of them at once.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because I think that's what I was waiting on. I was like, oh, I should read it first before I watch the show, because all these people, so many people have told me how great it is, and I'm like, yeah, but we have the book. I've seen the books at the library.
Yes. Yes, we have them. Come and get them. Now, if you like that with the demons, and there's some American history going on there. Yeah, I learned some things about American history from that.
Interesting.
It's very intense. It's for the adult audience, definitely. But it's, you know, teenagers saving the rest of town, you know, from these demons.
Right.
Because that's what teenagers do.
Exactly. I mean, look at all the media. That's Stranger Things. That's what happens in Stranger Things. And that's what happens, I mean, in a lot of manga.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely a thing. These kids are doing crazy stuff and saving the day, and the adults don't even know about it.
Yes. Yeah. But back to Chainsaw Man. I have only read part of it, and it was only because I think I had other things to read. I was reading those, and then I feel so bad, but I had kept like volume one for a while, and I was like, oh, okay, I have to read this and then return it. Read it. It was amazing. It seems really cool, so I need to check it out again and read it,
Oh
and
yeah. Oh yeah.
watch the anime as well.
Yeah, and you the little pooch test at the end of every chapter is so adorable.
He really is so cute. Like, if you just look him up online, or like take the book out, like check the book out at the library and just look at his cute little face with the chainsaw, the little tongue. Like, he's
So
adorable.
adorable. Oh my gosh. And at the beginning, at the beginning when they're going around fighting devils and they're just And it's just the two of them, and like Denji doesn't, he doesn't have anyone to take care of him. He's just a kid, and they just count on, like, most of the time he doesn't have anything to eat, and any money that he earns from like the devil hunting, it goes to the creditors for his dad's debt. So yeah,
But he has this
it's
best
rough.
friend. He has his heart.
No, I know. Oh my gosh, it's crazy. So no matter what's going on, that poach is always there. But I'm telling you, when he pulls that chainsaw string, when he pulls that starter, and it just there you go. I mean, you can like hear it in your head when you're reading this. I'm not kidding. I am not kidding. As soon as he puts his finger in that ring, and I'm like, in my head, it goes. Oh my gosh, it's a lot of fun. It really is a lot of fun. Remember, all of the manga we've discussed today are available here at the Akron Summit County Public Library. You can give us a call or check out our website at akronlibrary.org to find your copy. We'll have another episode for you in 2 weeks. This has been Full Manga Librarians, and we thank you for listening.